Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, and you are listening to episode 88, Sweat with Your Cycle with Jenny Hulbert. And just like any other Witchy Wellness guest, this is an amazing, fun, inspirational episode. I will say, as a disclaimer, there were some technical difficulties. We tried recording this multiple times. The audio kind of gets a little crackly on Jenny's end. Throughout the episode, there are spots where it's clear. Bear with us. It is well worth a listen. You guys are just going to love learning how to sweat with your cycle and to tune into the natural rhythms of your own body. But before we get into the juicy, foamy, or meat and potatoes, if you will, today's episode is brought to you by Living the Good Life Naturally Magnesium. If you want to learn more about magnesium and what it can do for your body and why using it topically rather than internally is the highest absorption rate, listen to episode 73, that's 73, with Kristen Bowen. And if you're interested in learning more and purchasing, click in the show notes below and use code WICHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, to get 10% off your purchase. Now back to today's show with Jenny. She is a fitness coach, essential oil specialist, host of her own podcast, Wild Wellness, and the creator of the Wellness Workout Without Burnout Blueprint. And we'll get into more of her background in a minute, but everything she offers is to help women live and to sweat in sync with nature. She believes that you can reach your goals without sacrificing your well-being as you seek to embody what nature has always modeled. It's not a sprint, it's a cycle. I love that. So in today's episode, you'll hear Jenny's backstory, how she overcame her own health and wellness and eating disorder to now helping women tune in and sweat with their own cycles, how to actually sweat and sync to your own cycle, and how to work out for all phases of your menstrual cycle. And most importantly, how not to burn out. I mean, I was surprised what Jenny had to say in the episode. I learned a lot. But also about recovery. We are such a solar, go, go, go mentality. We need to take time for ourselves. Also, along with yin and yang energies and how that incorporates with the cycles. And we both share about how to incorporate essential oils for your cycle and your own wellness routines and so, so, so much more. Side note, if you guys are interested in learning more about essential oils, my team is offering a couple classes every Monday free via Zoom. If you guys want to learn more about essential oils 101, shoot me a message or click the link in the show notes so you guys can sign up for a free intro to essential oils webinar class. I would love to see you guys there. But without further ado, please enjoy episode 88, Sweat with Your Cycle with Jenny Hulbert. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, I am your host, Lauren Chalantani. And this is a show you get to learn how your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And our beautiful guest, Jenny Hulbert, today is modeling that beautifully. She helps women sweat in sync with their cycles, which means working out without the burnout. And we get to learn how to regain energy and get more with less hustle. Jenny's a fitness coach and a fellow essential oil specialist, host of the Wild Wellness podcast, and creator of the Workout Without Burnout Blueprint. I am so excited to have you on the show today, Jenny. Welcome.
I am so excited to be here, Lauren. Thank you so much. Your guiding mantra for this podcast could not be more aligned and perfect with what I'm going to speak about, with having your body not in the way, but leading the way. That just is exactly what we're going to get into. So I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate the work that you do, too. And that's one of the reasons why I started the show, you know, was just tapping into my own cycle and that power of, you know, being in tune with nature, being in tune with our bodies, with time, and this cyclical nature, not this linear nature, which I know we will get into that in a minute. But before we do, I would love to hear how you got to helping women sweat and sync with their cycles. I imagine there's a beautiful backstory. You know, for me, it was like, you know, you get addicted to working out, that yogi high or the runner's high, you know, you want more of it. But at the end of the day, you can't just push and live in this solar world. You know, we have to learn to rest and be in sync with that lunar side of ourselves as well. So yeah, could you please enlighten us how you got to helping women sweat and sync with their cycles?
Yes, it's such a concept, isn't it? To look to nature and the seasons and cycles to guide us in that. I mean, if I had only known this sooner is what I think sometimes, but at the same time, I know it all comes at the right time and we go through the lessons we go through for such important reasons. And so I'm really grateful for the challenges that I had, even though they were really difficult at the time. And I would say it started back in my teens, actually. And into my early 20s, for years I struggled with an eating disorder and how I related to my body. And also in my relationship with exercise, it was sort of in response to whatever I had eaten. It was not always out of just the pure joy of movement and the respect that I had for my body. It was sort of a punishment relationship that I had. And so that was something that I didn't feel as good about. I knew that there was something better. There was something more. There was a different way. And I eventually recovered from an eating disorder by coming back to nature. And it was realizing that nature's food and true nourishment is exactly that. And it's not in packaged and processed foods. And I just really started to have more mindful awareness around the way that I ate and my relationship to food and my body. And I think that all really set into motion what I also came to later, which was going into my degrees in exercise science and sports psychology, really interested in health and fitness, but then not really learning in that model how to work with a cycle in terms of moving. I was always taught about a progression model, which is a way for you to train and not overdo and just build upon in small increments. That it was taught to me in a very linear pattern, because that's what we are taught. That's what a lot of our culture and society is modeled off of, is this linear way of doing things. And so for me, that looked like continuing to overdo and overwork and just not really have that awareness of what my body needed different at different times of my own personal cycles and rhythms. And it was, again, sort of that mindful awareness of movement and realizing that nature had a model for me that brought me to what I love to teach others today, whether that be women who are menstruating and have an inner cycle to follow, or whether that be any human who wants to follow the seasonal patterns and the moon cycle so that they have a guide for how to work out and really how to live in sync with that and be able to adjust and optimize times when they have more energy and also honor those times of rest. And so my mantra is that it's not a sprint, it's a cycle. And that is so much of what I came to understand and be able, you know, was able to work with myself to be able to get through this. And also what so many others have just come and realized so much peace within, because it changes everything and not just even how you work out.
And so even just thinking about when you set a goal, and whether that be a workout goal or any other kind of goal, it's set up where you make incremental gains. And if you were visually seeing what I'm talking about, it goes in a line, right? You just continue to make incremental gains on up. And there's no point where, instead of it being a line, picture it as a circle, I guess, where there's really no beginning and end point, and it just continues on a cycle. And for us, the rhythms that we have to follow are not just the daily rhythms. We're all familiar with infradian rhythms of, say, the sun coming up and going down, and that daily rhythm that we have that we can actually follow, you know, be able to go to sleep because it's dark out and then wake up with the light. But we also have this infradian rhythm as women that's monthly. And I'm sorry, circadian rhythms is what you would be thinking of with those daytime cycles. But infradian rhythms are what are these monthly cycles that we experience that actually are this ebb and flow of the moon. So starting with the new moon going to full moon and then back to new moon again, that's a cycle that our menstrual cycle actually mirrors. So if that's probably not a new concept to you if you're listening, but if it is, that's one thing to consider, to think about, that we do have this cycle within us that models that outer cycle. And then we have the seasons as sort of this outer cycle as well. Regardless of where you live and the changes that happen, it could be more drastic where you have very extremes of summer and winter, and then other seasons and conditions where maybe it's just more subtle. But either way, there's these shifts that nature makes. And when it comes to working with that and our bodies in the way that we're living, and specifically in the way that we're moving our bodies and working out, whether you're training for something or whether you're just someone who wants to move your body regularly for those amazing health benefits that it has, it can be based on a cyclical nature instead of this linear one. Because a lot of times what we see is, again, we need to make these incremental changes, and yet we don't consider the different times of the month that we might be in that would affect how we feel. And so that's a few things to be aware of when you're thinking about, you know, what your workout plan would look like or what your subtle changes would look like. And I will say that a lot of times when we don't understand this, we get really hard on ourselves and really frustrated on those times of the month when we just feel more lethargic, we're less motivated, we're not as excited to work out. And I know for me, I used to think, what's wrong with me? Like, what is going on? Why am I feeling unmotivated? Why does this happen every couple of weeks, you know? And it's crazy. I can't believe that I didn't know sooner, because it's such a relief to understand that there's nothing wrong with me. This is my body's natural cycle and rhythm, and it's perfectly okay. And it's actually perfect. It's not just okay. It's the way that it's meant to be. We do need the ebb and the flow. But yet we have these outer messages that we really need to pay attention to, and, you know, maybe even consider for yourself, those of you listening, and asking yourself, what kind of messages have I picked up around how I need to move and what the intensity needs to be, or what makes a good workout, you know, quote unquote, good workout, what substantiates it being enough? Or when do I know that I have challenged myself enough? Like, what kind of answers come up for you? Because it's going to be different for all of us, of course, but all of those things that we believe about that have come from whatever we've picked up on. And I think a lot of times in our culture, it's more of that message of go harder, hustle more, achieve more. And there's not really as much of respect for those times of the cycle, the season, where there's a slower pace, there's a more restful invitation. And I think if we start to notice that even within ourselves, that's where a lot of this shift starts to become more easy for us, or more of a, okay, I can see where this is coming from. So now I can start to do it a little different.
Oh yeah. When you start to tune into these cycles, like, I know when my period's going to start. Like, I'm pretty regular in my cycle, but like I can feel my energy level drop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be here within 12 hours. I know it's, you know, here's my first symptom. And giving ourselves permission to rest is huge. Like, mm-hmm. I think I spend maybe a day or two, depending on how I feel, either right before my cycle starts or right when it starts, you know, taking a nap, taking more naps, just resting, laying around, maybe just going for like a short walk. And I mean, I'm not into this as much as you are, but I want to be more with like the science behind all the research with this. But I have found in my own life, just by doing that alone, my energy levels for the rest of the month are so much higher just overall with allowing myself to take the rest when my body needs it and is asking for it. It's just, it blows my, our bodies are telling us what they need all the time.
Yeah. You said something really important there, which is that you've already noticed what your body needs and you're responding to it. And that's it right there. Like, despite any of the research or information that's out there, because to be honest, there's some very mixed results or conclusions around this, because it's not something that's been studied a lot or as much as, say, other aspects in fitness or even in humans in general with exercise, because women's cycles have been seen a lot of times in research as being really difficult to study. And or women in general have been difficult to study and research because of our cycles, because we're not as, you know, men have this 24-hour cycle that is much more consistent. It's much more easy to kind of look at and have be a measure that is steady in a study. Study in a study, that's too many. You get what I'm saying. But that's where it's difficult to even point to outer things like that and only rely on that. I think it's just even more important to start to notice your own patterns. And you do that by taking notes, by keeping some kind of a journal or tracking what it is that you experience. So at the very minimum, on day one of your cycle, which is the first day that you bleed, or if you don't have a menstrual cycle and you're doing this, you could start with the new moon as day one. And then note whatever you do for your workout that day, how you're feeling physically, emotionally, and take note of obviously what day of your cycle you're on. And just having those notes and going back and looking at patterns and how you're feeling and doing that for several months, you'll start to notice patterns that you can start to shift and change things with, you know, because sometimes it's not as easy as just showing up that day and being a little bit more lethargic and just wondering, well, what should I do? Like, I was planning to go for a few miles running, but now I just don't really feel like doing that. But if you already kind of know ahead of time that these few days that are coming up, I may not feel like doing what I had planned, then you can come up with an alternative and then not feel discouraged and feel like you're doing something that's actually still of great service to your amazing body. And, something that's going to be helpful for that. So yeah, what you said about just listening to that and noticing is really the first step to getting on this different kind of a path and different relationship with movement.
Yeah. For me, that's been a game changer, but also understanding in general, what types of workouts, a starting point, if you will, for different parts of your cycle for you. Could you kind of walk us through? I know it has to be intuitive, but there, you know, what's a starting point that we could go through each four parts of our cycle that, you know, maybe somebody can start trying?
Yeah, you're totally right. That's very helpful too, just to have a sense of what to even possibly expect, you know, based on the way that our bodies are. And there are some things that are pretty common, you know, that most people will experience. So starting with just the idea that we have these two different energies in the cycle. So out of the four phases that we have, which I'll talk about, we have two different energies. One's more yin, one's more yang. So one's more that cool feminine, you know, lower, slower energy. The other one's more heat, masculine, higher intensity type of energy. So it's that contrast even of the seasons, of winter being yin and summer being yang. And a lot of people actually refer to the four phases of the cycle as spring, summer, autumn, and winter. So it's our inner seasons that we have. And I love that because of my, you know, resonance with the seasons and of nature. That just really made a lot of sense to me. I first heard about that in a book called Wild Power. And I'm not sure if they were the ones that came up with that originally or what, but I like to refer back to that because that book was really amazing for me to have as a resource as in learning about these different phases and different seasons, as they call them. But I also call them the base,
the build, peak, and recovery phases. So that's sort of in relationship to how you might approach the movement aspect of it, the workout aspect, the exercise, whatever you want to call it. And so the base phase would be our menstrual phase, our inner winter. And that's usually the last day of your cycle, even sometimes that day before you start your period to say day 4 or 5. And in that phase, the base phase, it really is like coming back to that base. Like I say, a lot of us don't really have a lot of energy because we're actively doing something else. Our body's releasing and there is other things going on that really our movement or, you know, doing a lot of activity isn't the focus of that phase necessarily. So despite the fact that there may be a lot of information out there that exercise helps cramps or, you know, doing whatever helps your body on your period, if that's not how you feel, then don't. Because I, like you, Lauren, don't feel like doing much the first couple of days. And if anything, I'll go for a light walk and maybe do some yoga poses that are more focused on the low back and the hips. Whereas like a contrast right now, I'm in my opposite of that phase. I'm in the inner summer of that peak energy phase. And yesterday I ran 5 miles with a friend at a pretty good pace. So it was like, I felt like doing that and it was great. So, you know, the contrast of the two, and you may feel like a completely different person in a way, but it's just those amazing subtle changes that you get to experience all those different energies in one cycle. That's another way to look at it too. So this can be a lower energy time, but your energy probably will start to build as you continue on. I mean, for some of us, it's those first couple days. For others, it's a little longer. And I know a lot of times as the energy starts to build, you want to do more, right? It's like you're coming back to life. So that next phase is called the build phase, as I said, and that can be inner spring. It's also the follicular phase in your cycle. So that's usually like days 6 to 12, say, and, you know, based on a 28-day cycle, which not everyone has, and that's okay too, but it's those next 5 to 7 days or so. And as I said, it's like you're coming back to life. So you're going to have more energy. Your estrogen is rising. So when your estrogen is rising, you're actually more resilient to higher cortisol levels, and cortisol gets released when we exercise. And so it's not a bad stress hormone. A lot of us that maybe are conscious of those stress hormones and even have had adrenal issues, we're like, oh, we can't have our cortisol get too high, you know, and that can be an issue over time if that's happening a lot. But with higher cortisol levels, there are phases that you're more resilient to it. And so when you do have that release with exercise, you can manage it better. And things like weight training are more optimal in this phase because you have a higher ability to recover. Your muscles and joints will have a higher ability to do that. So think of optimizing those things during this phase. It's not that you won't do them in later parts of the cycle, but they may look different. You may do heavier weights right now or more sets or things like that. Whereas when we talk about the luteal phase later, it might look a little different as far as what you do for weight training. So I will say now that this doesn't have to be like, well, in the menstrual phase, I do yoga. In the follicular phase or the build phase, I do weights. And in the next phase, I do sprints. And then in the next phase, I do either rest or walking. Like, it doesn't have to be all different activities, because I know some of us, we are drawn to just certain activities. Like we're a runner, or we just do weights, or we do some kind of class at the gym, or we're a yoga person. Like, and we don't have all these activities that we like to do. So it can look like shifting the intensity or shifting the duration in some way in that one activity that you do throughout the cycle, instead of just doing a lot of different things. I think a lot of the recommendations I see out there sometimes is more what I just explained. It's like, well, do all these different things in each part of the cycle. I know that doesn't always make sense. So back to the phases now. So we talked about menstrual, follicular, and now the ovulatory phase, which is also inner summer. And I call that the peak phase because it's peak energy. It's your hormones particularly estrogen is going to be at its peak during this phase. Your progesterone is actually going to peak a little bit later, more in the luteal phase, but it's the estrogen that actually gives you more energy anyway. When progesterone is high, it's sort of the opposite of that. So with high estrogen, high energy, and you may find that you can do longer endurance efforts during this phase. You will probably enjoy doing them with other people. So I mentioned I went for a run with someone else the other day, and this is, you know, something that I would probably feel more like doing during that phase as opposed to maybe wanting to do more solo activities. So it can shift even just how we feel, not just in the physical aspect of the movement, but whether we feel like doing it indoors or outdoors, whether we feel like doing it alone or with other people and things like that. So this phase is going to probably be where you feel the most energized. But again, if you have some dips in this phase, I know there's been cycles that I've had where I expected to feel really energized during phase, and it was sort of like, what's going on? Like, I'm not feeling like I'm having all these great days. But that just goes to show that there's so many other factors that influence our energy and our the way that our muscles recover and things like that. So of course, you know, it's a holistic view of how are you sleeping, how are you hydrating, how are you recovering, are you using anything to support you in that, like essential oils or anything else that can help you in that way. So there's so many things we can do for ourselves to feel optimal in these phases. And it's not just about doing the workouts in alignment that way. So obviously that's something to think about too. And then the last phase is the luteal phase. That's inner autumn. I call it the recovery phase because our energy does take a dip in this phase. This is the part of the cycle that a lot of us are probably going to be the most frustrated with because we'll feel the most frustrated if we are that kind of person who really enjoys feeling high energy. And we enjoy that phase where we feel like we are like superwoman and we can do anything, because this one is the opposite of that. And so you want to become really in tune to the subtle changes that you might feel during this phase. You're going to feel less energized, but you may have days where you do. And those days that you don't, you really want to tune in and be flexible. So in a word, I would say this phase is about flexibility. And I also like to share that this is a great phase for people to maybe think of something that you've been neglecting throughout the cycle that you want to focus on. That's not just all about going harder and making gains and taking to the next level, because this is about recovery. And maybe it's just about maintaining where you are and reflecting on what have I either been neglecting or what can I work on that maybe just needs a little bit more refinement right now. So whether that's a nagging injury that you've had, or whether it's just the way that you've even been approaching your workouts. Maybe it's a great time to actually look back at your journal or what you've been tracking with your cycle and your workouts and noticing patterns and seeing what you can tweak or adjust next time. And like I said, of course, adjusting the intensity. So this is the phase where maybe instead of doing the heavier weights and more sets, maybe you do weight training or your strength training, but maybe it's more body weight exercises. Maybe it's not so intense and you're doing less sets, because one pattern that I've noticed for myself is that my ability to recover in this phase is usually decreased. So if I'm not careful and I go and do something that is too intense, too heavy, too many sets as far as strength training goes, then it just doesn't feel good because my muscles don't respond to that well. And when our progesterone is higher in this phase, we can have more inflammation sometimes and a decreased ability to clear that in the body. So it just makes sense that if you're going to add more of that with intense exercise, then you might struggle with it a little bit. And so just being mindful of some of those things, I think that can be a really good starting point, I hope, for all of you listening. If you had no idea where to begin with with these phases, this is a good place to begin.
Oh yeah, that was super helpful. When you said the word recovery, in my mind, I was like, of course, because in this linear mindset of working out, a lot of times we don't think about recovery as being just as important as working out.
And you can't. Not one of the phases, right?
No. And I'm like, I got to a point where I'd be like, you know, here's a few or one workout that I do, you know, when I lift upper body, I do this. When I lift lower body, I do that. When I run, I have these three things I do. And it's just like doing those movements, the same thing over and over and over again. There's like no recovery for your body to balance out. I'm learning. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, duh, of course, Lauren.
So you're kind of reflecting on what would recovery look like for you.
Yeah.
In that phase.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it looks like just a total rest day. Sometimes it's doing nothing. If you're someone who does work out 5-6 days a week, you know, you might need more days during that particular phase where you do nothing. And maybe you really only move 4 or 5 times that week instead of 6 or 7, you know? I mean, we all need that recovery, but more often maybe in that phase, maybe more days than usual.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always learning when I'm interviewing on these shows. Everybody's like, oh, thank you for doing this podcast. I'm like, no, I do it for me, really, guys. Like I learn and like meet so many beautiful people on the show. And I mean, I have a fellow essential oil specialist here. I would just be distraught if I did not ask you, how can we incorporate, you know, throughout this cycle, different essential oils or different other practices, you know, that would support our body and, you know, sweating with our cycle and not depleting our energy.
Yeah, I love it. I'll share a few things that might align with each of those phases that we just talked about, so that maybe that will help to focus on even just one oil per phase that you can incorporate if you're not already using it. Then I would say, in starting with the menstrual phase, that listening to what you might be dealing with at that time, you know, a lot of times it might be cramps or just even a feeling of tension or tightness in the low back. So that could be an essential oil that would help with circulation and with easing inflammation, and something that's more warming, not necessarily a cooling oil. So whether that be marjoram, which is great for soothing the muscles and inflammation, and it's also a more warming oil, or I'm thinking of if you're using it diluted pretty well on a topical application, because that one can be a little hot on the skin, but that's going to be warming as well. And even using ginger in a tea, if your essential oil is, of course, that quality. I'm sure a lot of you listening maybe know about doTERRA essential oils, and so ginger would be perfect if it's that quality of oil to use in a tea. I love making just a warm cup of water and a drop of ginger. It helps with circulation and helps with increasing the blood flow, like I said, and the even the decreased pain that you might experience with that. So those are a couple for that phase. And then I'm thinking of when the energy is starting to build in that follicular phase, the build phase, literally, and the inner spring, if you're resonating with that. I'm thinking of oils that match that energy, that sort of help bring you back to life a little bit, like citrus oils, you know, grapefruit, wild orange, yeah, lemon, and those can be inhaled from your hands, diffused, or used in water. Lemon's really supportive to the liver, which can be great any time of the month, but our liver is so linked to our hormones and the health of our cycle. So just having that liver support anytime is a good idea. But especially even in this phase, you're kind of coming off of that time where you've been resting and your body has been actively releasing and letting go. So I would say supporting the adrenals, particularly in this phase, can be helpful as well. And so oils like basil and rosemary have helped me a lot, putting them on the low back, even on the adrenals. That can be really helpful. And of course, anytime, but just thinking of maybe something you would focus on in this phase. And then in the inner summer, the peak phase with peak energy, I would say you're going to need more support with your muscles in this phase, because you might be kind of challenging yourself a little bit more than you normally do. It's an optimal time to do it, right? So think of the oils that are going to help with either tension in the muscles or being able to recover more quickly. So lavender topically is great for that. Copaiba, frankincense, peppermint, all of those mixed together could be a good blend. And I love those for recovery. And then I'm thinking for the recovery phase, that inner autumn, the luteal phase, right before your period, when you might be experiencing a lot of things like emotional ups and downs, you might not be feeling quite like yourself. Oils that are going to help you to not suppress those emotions and just kind of let them rise to the surface. I'm thinking from like the emotional, spiritual aspect of the oils, what might help us to be more accepting of that. And one that actually comes to mind is cypress, because of the oil of motion and flow, kind of invites us to move with the flow of life instead of resisting it. Because I think a lot of in this phase, we're like, I don't like this. I don't like feeling this way. I don't feel like myself. What's wrong with me? Those kinds of things come up. So cypress allowing us to move with that. And then of course, the more floral oils like rose and jasmine, those are such anchors to me, a lot of the parts of the cycle, but especially this one, because not only are they really balancing to our hormones, but they can actually help support menstrual flow. So if you are approaching that time, it can just, it seems to me like the perfect thing to use before using those floral oils. So yeah, cypress, jasmine, rose, and I like to put jasmine and rose on my neck, right where I can smell them, on my wrists, but you can also apply them to your abdomen, and you could do the same with a cypress. And I also love making my own body butter with coconut oil and shea butter and a little bit of beeswax sometimes, just to thicken it a bit more. But then having just that unscented body butter and adding whatever oils you want, then to give yourself a self-massage, because that is just such a soothing practice in and of itself, you know, to be able to give yourself that massage and that loving touch of helping your body to feel more grounded and more soothed. At least my body responds really well to that. So hopefully that helps a little with the essential oils.
Oh yeah. I love all those oils. I know. I think is jasmine like the divine feminine oil? I'm trying to think. I know there's like a divine, like sexuality, even like divine feminine with jasmine. Yes. I love it. And I use cypress.
Yeah, you're on that for sure. Rose is a divine mother. Or divine feminine, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. And jasmine definitely has that like physical intimacy, something anchored to that as well. Yeah.
They both. And I use cypress all. I mean, I love all essential oils, but cypress, like,
one of your favorites
because it's the oil of flow, you guys. Yes. And I know, living in our world today and living in that linear cycle, I get stuck in it, get stuck mm-hmm. in my own head, and especially during the luteal phase for me. Maybe no one else noticed, but I'm pretty sure if you pay attention you would notice in the luteal phase, everything that you seem to be ignoring in your life or in your body seems to be amplified during that time. And that's for a reason. Like, biochemically, your body's more receptive to that. And with pain, I too, I think. But it's your body's leading your way. It's like, hi, you haven't been paying attention earlier. Could you please pay attention now? And definitely the oil flow. I was also thinking with all of that, feeling the feelings and not suppressing the feelings, when I do feel a lot of hard, not hard, difficult, heavy feelings.
Yeah.
Peppermint's really good too. The oil of poignancy. But you can use too much of it and kind of like dilute your feelings in a way. But if something's too heavy, peppermint really does help me kind of process. And if I'm like, you know, hot mess of emotion and like, can't tell up from down, like, it's good to kind of help me. But I was also thinking that as along with the luteal phase.
That's good.
We could talk oils all day. And I love incorporating with your cycle. But I looked at the time and we need to close this out. I had such a wonderful time talking with you, Jenny, with all things cycle oils. Was there anything else you wanted to cover today before we wrap the show up?
I just want to thank you. And I hope that the listeners will take just one thing that they're going to start with, you know, whether that is you starting to track and journal about your own cycle and things that you notice, or whether if you're already doing that, just starting to maybe put it into practice a bit more and notice those shifts in each of the phases. But yeah, this was a great conversation. I really appreciate you and all your insights and all the listeners for being here.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you. And we end every single show by saying thank you to you. Thank you for showing up for yourself, for getting to be able to do the work that you do today with, you know, flipping the paradigm about women, how we look at our bodies and our cycles. But also thank you for showing up for us today and sharing your beautiful wisdom with us. And how may we, the listeners, be of service as an act of gratitude for you today?
Thank you. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is to be connected to nature in some way, whether that's going outside and being in nature, breathing in the air, or whether it's dropping essential oil out into your hand and inhaling it in some way. That's a connection too. But yeah, just reconnecting, inviting yourself to connect with nature in that way, because kind of full circle back to what I shared in the beginning, I feel like that has been my guide and the anchor and all of these lessons that I've learned that have been the most valuable to me. So whatever you need to find there, whatever lessons or messages those things have for you, I know that you'll receive them. So I think when we all do that, you know, my podcast, the Wild Wellness Podcast, and so much of the message around my work, wild to me is connected to nature and influenced by nature, but it also is an acronym for women into living their dreams. Because I think when we take care of our bodies, then we can do that. We can take all the adventures, we can live our dreams, we can do the things that we're here to do in service of our life and everyone else that we're here to bring more beauty and joy to in life. So I think if we all do that individually, take care of ourselves, then that's how we can be of greatest service to everyone else. So that's what I would ask.
Beautiful. And I know, you know, I've learned this lesson the hard way multiple times. We can't change other people. You have to be able to want to change yourself first. And leading by example like this is such a beautiful way to change the world. You know, if you want to change the world, start with yourself. And I can't think of the quote, but it made me think of, you know, we're not a part of nature. We don't live in nature. Nature is us. We are all one. And I will link that quote in the show notes, but basically it's not something that we live in.
Yeah.
We're all in the same ecosystem. We all come from the same place, and it's very grounding, very soothing. And yeah, even if it's the dead of winter, getting outside, I know, at least in, you know, we're both like Midwest, East Coast people over here. And right now it's 30 degrees outside and
there's snow, it's bitter cold, and it's freezing rain. And yeah, go lean against a tree. Yeah. It's magical in the winter. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I so enjoyed talking with you. And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.